I was sure I had seen that woman before. She came in and out of my mind often the next few days, like a few notes of a song you just couldn't reconnect to the whole. Especially her lips. I was sure I had seen them before. It was a few days later that the name came back to me. Ed and I were in the kitchen table with our morning coffee and toast, talking about his friends Alex and Sophia. We hadn't exactly made up from the Valentine's Day fight, but we had let it go, silently deciding that it had never happened. I was half listening to a story about Alex's promotion, half thinking about what to wear that day, when her name flew back to me, unannounced. Pansy, I called out. I knew her. Pansy had been an imaginary friend. I first thought of her when I was 5 or 6, a mother's substitute. I imagined her combing my hair, setting up for a tea party with me, tucking me into bed at night. My real mother had passed away when I was 3, from a heart attack, and my father remarried very quickly to a woman who had never wanted children, Noreen. Pansy wasn't another little girl. She was what I thought of as a grown-up. But she really was a teenager. She was modeled loosely on Tracy Berkowitz, a glamorous 18-year-old who lived down the block. But unlike Tracy, Pansy was wise and soothing and cared about me. I was not so lonely as to be deranged to think that Pansy was real. There was no psychic break, no supernatural mischief. I was absolutely aware that I was real, and Pansy was imaginary. Until one day, she wasn't. I was on my way home from school. The image that had loomed so large at 6 had, by the time I was 9, been relegated to a few minutes of attention before I went to sleep, where I imagined her kissing me goodnight. It was late spring. Towards the end of the school year, the sun was bright and the hum of summer was already in the air. Flies and crickets and the far-off sound of transams and Camaros in town. I was walking home from school, down a block of neat white houses with patches of green lawn, each one almost identical to the next. I was walking slowly, not in a hurry to be home or anywhere at all. The street was empty except for a woman at the end of the block, standing at the crossroads, as if she was waiting for someone. Without interest, I noticed the woman on the corner. As I got closer, she turned toward me and smiled. At first, I thought she was Tracy Berkowitz, but no. I remembered, Tracy, unwed, had moved to the city months ago with her cop boyfriend. The move was a minor scandal on the block, and there was no forgetting it. The woman on the corner was looking right at me now. She had a mess of black hair and a pink pretty smile. I remember her skin, perfectly bisque, with a soft translucent glow like an airbrushed photo from a magazine. It was Pansy. My heart beat like a hummingbird in my chest. I went into a kind of panic, thoughts falling on top of each other with no order. It couldn't be her, but it was. When I reached the corner, she stepped in front of me, and I stopped. She bent down, leaning her hands on her thighs. The sun shone directly on her face, but she didn't blink or squint. "Hi, Amanda," she said. Her voice had a clear, sweet tone like a violin. All my fears dissipated when I heard that voice. "Can you see me, Amanda?" she asked. Just then, a growling firebird sped by the cross street, honking its horn. Instinctively, I blinked and turned towards it for half a second or less. When I turned back, she was gone. I was old enough to know that it was impossible, what had just happened. And that only crazy people believed in impossible events. I buried the memory so deeply it didn't resurface until the dreams began.